Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back. Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. If you're in Bloomington and we're a little staticky, try switching over to 92.5. It might be a little bit clearer for you. If you're in Lincoln or Pontiac, we are so thankful that you are tuning in and listening to Catholic Spirit Radio. Check out our website at catholicspiritradio.org and download our free app at the Apple Play Store. No, the Google Play Store or Apple iTunes. You can find it at either one. And listen to all our old podcasts. If you missed last, what's it been, 2 weeks ago now? We had Patrick Madrid on and had a fantastic conversation with him. The week before that was Jimmy Akin. And prior to that, I don't really remember. So I guess maybe I should go back and listen to the podcast as well. Coming up, we've got some fantastic guests coming up. Tim Gordon is going to be with us talking about his new book, which I have been vehemently reading over the past week, called Catholic Republic. And Trent Horn is also going to be with us. So some fantastic guests lined up. We'll give a shout out to Ann Weber, our scheduler. She does a fantastic job here. So if you have any recommendations for her on who should be on the radio, or if you want to be on the radio, reach out to us at Catholic Spirit Radio, and we would be glad to discuss having you on. We have another guest with us today. Tina Betcher is here with us. Did I say that right?
Yes.
All right. And she is here to talk with us about death cafes.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting topic.
Didn't scare you off, did it?
Well, I sell life insurance for a living, so it's right up my alley, too.
Yeah, there you go.
What's a death cafe?
It's actually an organization that I did not start, but it is a gathering of people, and a lot of times they're just total strangers. We get together and we talk about death, and we have cake and we have tea, and it's a very relaxed, open, accepting environment.
Awesome. All to talk about death.
Yes.
That's not typically a topic that most folks want to tackle.
No, a lot of people would rather avoid that topic. It's kind of like if you deny it, that you're not going to die.
Really?
Yeah. Fine. You know, just like, oh, that's not going to happen to me.
I didn't know that's how that worked.
It doesn't work that way.
No,
actually.
I've always been convinced I'm going to die at a young age. But I keep getting older. So like if I'm going to fulfill that, I guess I better get on it.
Well, you know, you're here until you're done with whatever God puts you here to do.
So. That is true. Before we hop into, I have a bunch of questions for you. How did the Death Cafe get started?
Originally, it got started in England by John, and his last name was Barsky, but he has passed since then. With his mother.
He fulfilled his prophecy.
He did. With his mother and another person, and they started it just because he had read about Bernard, Cretaz, or I don't know how to
something
say his
like
name.
That. Sure.
Anyway, his work was on mortal cafes, and it again he was a sociologist in Switzerland, I believe, in France, and he started the project of talking about death. And so when John saw this, and he read about it, he said, oh, this is what we need. So it started in England. I guess that's why we have tea.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that makes
sense. Tea and cakes in England,
yeah.
You know? But they started in his house, actually. But there have been death cafes since then all over the world in 65 countries. And so far, 8,551 gatherings have happened. But that was a few days ago, and I've noticed that there are some happening today, too. So all over the world.
Wow.
I brought a list of all...
That is a long list of countries.
I show that to people because they're like, oh, what is this? Well, I think maybe in Europe they're a little more open with their talking about it. And so now that it's here.
So how did it get here?
That was in our introduction, I should talk about Lizzie Miles. She ran the first Death Cafe in the United States. so, but now John's mother and his sister run it, and they have a Facebook page, and they have on website to go to. Excuse me.
Yeah, I checked out the website.
Oh, good.
And it has all the upcoming events and
Has the guide,
a good background. Yeah,
and has the guide on how to do a death cafe, which is important because it is a social franchise. So that means that anyone who wants to lead a session needs to read the guide, understand what the parameters are, and agree to that.
Yeah,
and then we can go ahead and use the words death cafe and be interviewed like this by press and different things to represent that.
And so the nuts and bolts of a death cafe for folks that are listening that might be interested. You guys have one coming up?
Yes, June 10th
okay.
At 6:30 at the Foundry Room.
6:30 in the evening.
In the evening.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's free to the open to the public?
Absolutely.
Do you have to register ahead of time? Or?
You don't have to.
Okay.
I did start a Facebook page so we could kind of get an idea.
We need to know how much tea and cake.
Yeah, how big should the cake be?
Yeah.
And how many people, how many seats are we going to need? You know, we're in a room right now that will hold like 20, 25 people.
Okay.
So that's great. But if we start getting more than that, then we'll have to look for another free venue in the community to hold them.
Gotcha. What is, now on to my questions here for you. Is there a common theme of folks that are interested that come to talk? I mean, are they folks that have had a close loved one that has, kind of recently passed so that death is kind of on the forefront of their mind? Are they folks that are getting older that are kind of faced with that mortality? Is there a commonality between them?
There are people that come to the Death Cafe for many, many, many reasons. We've had 20-somethings coming and 80-somethings coming. People who have young children and are wondering how are they going to talk to their children about death. People who have lost a loved one. This is not a counseling session and it's not like a grief support group. It's a conversation. But we do have references. We can refer people if they're looking for something like that. But people that are there have had, lost loved ones. They've had near-death experiences. They've had suicide in their family. They are hospice workers, still are some of them. They are people who give comfort to dying people. It's a conversation between a lot of different people, and you get a lot of different perspectives. I'm of the Catholic faith,
right.
And Naomi is my co-facilitator, and she wasn't able to be here today. She's a Jewish, but these sessions are for people of all faith traditions or no faith tradition. Anyone is welcome.
How's the conversation get started? What's kind of the...
We usually start out with introduction, what Death Cafe is, and then Naomi goes over some things, because she's a psychotherapist. I don't know if I missed that.
Or whatever her title is. Yeah.
I've got that. She talks about confidentiality and how important it is that what we say stays in the room, and that when we talk about anything that happens at a death cafe as facilitators, we will never identify a person or even give information that would let other people identify that person, but that we may share things unless they absolutely tell us that they don't want to.
Sure.
And so the first question is, introduce yourself, say why you came here, and what did you expect from tonight? So the whole discussion is led by the people who arrive.
It usually kind of takes off from there.
Yep, that's the first hour.
Gotcha. So how long? It's a more than an hour long.
Usually about 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, we start at 6:30, and then a little after 8, we'll kind of watch the clock, and we'll say like 8:10. We're going to be wrapping up now. Did something come up that you want to comment on or you want to ask a question about before we end? So we give people that last, we're going to kind of wrap up.
Yeah.
And then when the next one will be. And so we're doing about every 2 months right now.
Wow.
That's what we kind of planned.
What are some of the hot topics?
Hot topics are, how do I talk to someone in my family who is older, parents especially? People come and they don't know how to bring up the conversation with their parents about what their wishes are at the end of life. How much do they want done, whether they're 50, 60, 80, 90 years old? What are your faith traditions? What do you want to experience as you go through the transition of death?
Does the conversation seem to be harder or easier for folks with a faith background?
I would say it's difficult for both.
Yeah.
I think people with a faith background have maybe a better understanding or more of an idea of what to expect or what they believe in. But the discussion is so difficult for even people, you know, very involved in their church or their faith. It's difficult for them to bring it up because it's facing mortality.
Man, maybe it's just really common in my world. I just talk about death all the time.
I'm from a Irish and French family, but my mother was Irish. So whenever anybody died, the first thing we did was start cooking.
Yeah.
And we're cooking and we take food because everybody's coming in, right?
So you got in on this for the death cafe or the cake part?
Both.
You're like, ooh, there's death and cooking. That's
perfect for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we always have in our family, everybody gets together when there's a funeral and we help each other out. And then afterwards we have an Irish wake where you sit and you talk and you might drink and you cry and you hug and you tell stories and you really appreciate the life that person had and that part that they had in your life. Well, as I've talked to people, I realized even before I got involved with Death Cafe that that's not the experience a lot of people have.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think especially as a society, as our families kind of become smaller and then more spread out, I think it's probably a lot more difficult for people to, they don't have that support in the family.
Yeah. And when my grandmother was dying, my mother and I were there all the time. I fed her. I was a kid at the time. So when she passed, I understood that she went to be with God.
Yeah.
And that I spent all that time with her and got to hear her stories. And all of that lives on with me. But as our families grow apart and move, we don't have that extended family to take care of anymore. And so we get the phone call. Oh, someone passed away. Someone died.
You're not even there.
Yeah.
All right.
When do I get to go or whatever, you know?
And anymore, we don't even really have funerals that much. I mean, we do, but you see a lot of the celebration of life, you know, like a month removed from the person actually passing away I think that distorts the grieving process.
Yeah, it's tough because that's what a funeral is for, the people who are left behind.
Yeah.
For us to get together, for us to comfort each other and to talk about that person that was so influential in our lives.
What are the things that that parents are most concerned about? You said with small children, what's kind of the conversation around how they should deal with that?
Well, every family is different. So I can't say, here's what you should do. I mean, there's lots of books written on the subject.
Sure.
But what's important is to talk about it and to not be afraid to talk about it.
I have 5 kids, and I think they typically handle it better than most adults. I think they just kind of get it on a different level. It's, you know, maybe much more innocent and much more just kind of, okay, this is what happened, and, you know, hopefully that person's going to go to heaven or, you know, whatever the situation is. But I think they tend to, they don't let kind of all of the stigma cloud the conversation or the questions or the answers that I think a lot of times, to your point, the reason that you have the Death Cafe is to try and get rid of some of that.
Yes, I totally agree. Kids don't have fear yet of it. They have an acceptance and they don't have all the baggage that we get as we get older of who's going to take care of this? What's going to happen here? Where's this going to happen? Who's going to do this? You start worrying about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which you can't take it with you, so you might as well get rid of it.
Yeah, so it seems like a lot of the questions really kind of come back to that end-of-life planning.
They do. A lot of people, it's so important to do that. And I was reading an article in the Seattle Times that was just published on May 17th. And an interesting thing that they had there was that 92% of the people believe talking about their loved ones about end-of-life care is important, but only 32% of people do it. And they said that while 97% of people say it's important to put their wishes in writing, only 37% of people have those things done. That's a huge gap.
Yeah.
That's like, yes, it's important, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, you know, at my office as a financial and an insurance advisor, you know, we try to push people all the time to planning, obviously retirement planning and estate planning. And we often encourage them to write stuff down, but they don't, you know, it's like, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow.
Again, denial that it's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And anyone... in this article, they were talking about anyone 18 and over should be thinking about it.
Yeah.
And to have some of those things written down.
Yeah, it's almost like we need an annual death checkup, you know, review the plan,
yeah.
Kind of make sure it's...
St. Benedict, wasn't that one of in his rule that you should think about death every day?
Well, that's probably...
Changes how you live your day.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's St. Benedict.
I mean, I know on my laptop, I have a... you know, 3-page document that I typed out for my wife. Like, here's all the stuff that, you know, because she doesn't do a lot of the long, she does the monthly, you know, she pays the bills. Mm-hmm. You know, but obviously as an insurance agent, there's a lot of life insurance on me with 5 kids and a wife. And so it's, you know, here's my plan for investing some of that money and spending some of that money and paying off these debts or, you know, paying for final expenses, whatever it is. And without taking the time to write it down, and she doesn't have to do it, you know, step for step, but at least it gives her an idea of like, at least start here. You know, those are typically the easiest things that we could take off our loved one's plate. You know, where's this money at or this account or, you know, the stuff that's just nuts and bolts so that they can spend the time grieving. You know, I want them to be really sad when I go.
Yeah.
I don't
so
want
she can cry a lot.
Well, yeah. I don't want her to have to be worried about paying the bills and out finding somebody new to pay for them.
Yeah.
Right?
No, of course not.
So, but we should update those things.
Oh, yeah. And you should because things change in life.
Yeah.
Every time you have a child, things change. Every time you go through a new job or move or change time, like my husband just retired. Now, that's a whole
congrats
another big change
for him.
Oh, I know. It's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Free time.
Yeah. He's pretty busy every day.
I bet. Every retiree I know gets busier when they stop working.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got all kinds of stuff. But that's his time now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as we change and things change in our lives, it's important to update that. It's important to also realize that it's not just the papers that people go through. It's the emotional changes that they go through. And a lot of people will come to Death Cafe and talk about how they lost a loved one they didn't even know was sick. No one told them that that was going to happen. Or someone that they really cared about or their parent or sibling committed suicide. That's huge for that person that's left here to deal with that the rest of their life.
Yeah.
What happened. So not only the paperwork, but also the emotional work that goes on when someone dies or prepares to die, and we're all going to.
Yeah, I think, I think for most people, if you sat down and thought about how you would want to die, you know, I would assume most people probably want to just not wake up, right? They want to just go to sleep.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, they just want to go to sleep. But for most people, I think they want to be given that opportunity of closure, of, you know, being able to say goodbye to loved ones and friends and that kind of stuff. And I think probably one of the benefits of having the conversation is that, to your point, you hopefully start to realize that you have that opportunity every day. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know how many more opportunities you'll have before it's the last opportunity. But take those opportunities every day to make sure that you're leaving, you know, the relationships and the conversations in a place where if that was the end of the relationship, that you would be happy with that.
Yes. And the people that are here after you leave will have a good relationship with you.
Right.
What I find with talking with people and being with people is that when you have a an estranged relationship, especially with a parent or sibling, and they die, that person's left never gets over it.
Yeah.
They carry that forever. And all it would take was a, hey, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And then that person could take that the rest of their lives. So those are important.
How does our Catholic faith view death cafes?
I don't think there's an official like word from the Pope or anything on death cafes. There's nothing against the Catholic faith because it's accepting of all faiths.
Yeah.
It's important to me as a Catholic because I view death as a transition to our next life. Like St. Francis did, his the night before his death is celebrated, it's transitus. It's the transition to our life. And some people believe in that, some people don't. But in our Catholic faith, if you believe in heaven, if you believe in God, then you believe that you will, your soul will continue on. That life will, your life will go on. That's important to not look at it as it's done, it's over.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of people that are worried that that death is the beginning of their eternity in hell?
Nope. That one never came up.
Oh, really?
That's a new one.
Oh, I guess I'm going to have to start showing up and be like, you sinners are all going to hell.
Whoa.
Then they really will be worried about death. I think that I think that there's a healthy dose of that mindset, you know, when you talk, when you think about death, again, with the relationships, like the greatest relationship that we should have is with Christ. And how would we want to leave that relationship if this is our last, you know, physical manifestation on earth of our ability to hopefully perfect that relationship?
Yes. In talking with people who've had near-death experiences, I just call them death experiences, their experiences have been so interesting. And I talked with people and people have said, you know, how they went towards the light and it was God and they experienced their loved ones on the other side. And then I heard a story from another person who said her brother is an EMT out east. And he has been with a lot of people that have gone over and come back, they say, you know, they tell their experience. So he started a support group out there, even though he hadn't had that experience. And he had a man come into his support group that said he went the other way.
Yeah.
That he experienced hell. And he came to that support group and said, I can't live my life the same anymore. This day I'm different because I'm not, that's not where I want to be. And he said he had lived his life very selfishly and climbing the corporate ladder and didn't care who he hurt, didn't have time to talk to people who, you know, started to talk to him in the days because he was too busy. He was such a big guy. And he totally changed his life around.
What a blessing.
Oh, you know, what a scary thing to happen, but what a gift.
Yeah.
To have that happen and go, time to change.
Yeah. Do you think it's hard for people that are, you know, maybe well-grounded in their faith who have family members or parents that are older, that are nearing death, who don't have that faith? Then they see it, you know, more from that perspective of, well, I feel good about my, you know, prospects for eternity, but mom or dad or whoever doesn't have faith. And so I don't know what's going to happen there.
That's one of the beauties, I think, of the Catholic faith, is that we pray for people.
Yeah.
We pray for those who are living, and we pray for those who have gone on and died. We pray for those souls in purgatory. You know, we pray for our loved ones that we might not know their heart. We might not think that they are close to Jesus, but maybe at that last breath they were.
Yeah.
We pray for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. What an awesome conversation. Death cafe. I'm going to have to come. When is it again?
June 10th.
June 10th at 6:30 at night. That's a Monday.
It's a Monday night.
So we're less than 2 weeks out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to have a good turnout? Any reservations yet?
Don't know. No, I've had some people say they're coming. Yes.
Yeah.
Each one is a standalone session because the group that gathers will have different perspectives on different things. But everyone is invited to come as many times as they want. So we have people who've come both the first two times here and have said they're coming back.
It's interesting, too. I was thinking earlier from my office, estate planning was all, you know, that's what people always talked about when, you know, retirement planning and then estate planning. And to your point, most people look at estate planning and they think, oh, well, it's just for rich people, right? It's just about taxes and leaving money. And so as an industry, we've tried to start changing that terminology to legacy planning because everybody has a legacy. And I think as a good advisor, especially for folks as they get older, and to your point, it should happen for everybody. But, you know, as we get older, it becomes much more predictable or at least, you know, more at hand. But that legacy planning should really be more about those relationships and the basic stuff. And, you know, it's not, I think a lot of times people think, oh, well, I made it to retirement, you know, maybe I worked with an advisor, but now I don't, you know, now I'm good. I just have to, you know, not run out of money. When really I think the legacy planning for most people should be far more important than the, you know, than the retirement planning. Because it impacts those relationships and to your point, those people in their life, if those relationships aren't in a good place at the end, you know, we'll carry that for decades potentially.
Oh yeah. And I've lost both my parents, I guess. I heard you shouldn't say loss because they're not like still at Kmart or something.
Yeah,
you
right.
know? Both of my parents have gone on to gone home. And my husband's too. So we've had those. Our kids have dealt with those deaths. But when my dad found out he was going to die from cancer, I was in the room and he said, I want you to write my obituary. And I'm like, oh, no, Dad, it's not time yet. You know, he goes, no, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
He said, go back to the house, get in my drawer. I've started it. He said, take it out and bring it in and we'll finish it up.
Yeah.
You know, we'll write it. And at first it was like, no way. I just wanted to be in denial. Totally.
Yeah.
And then after we started it, I thought, wow, that was a beautiful gift he gave me.
Yeah. Well, and it took something off your plate.
Yeah. And the
talk. And he probably did a far better job than, you know, a grieving child would do.
Yeah. I mean, you know something's coming, someone is going to pass, but then when it happens, you're still upset and you're still trying to get all this together. I've seen obituaries that were like 3 lines long and I thought, oh, how sad.
Yeah.
Nobody cared enough.
I read one not too long ago on Facebook. It was like a stand-up comedy obituary. It was great. I don't. I wish I could remember like who had posted it or whatever, so I'd go back and find. It was hysterical.
Oh, that's good.
Oh
that's,
man,
I hope mine's like that.
Yeah, well, see, you haven't written it yet.
No, I guess
you better
start
get
that.
On it. Who's leading this death cafe?
Oops.
You got to get your obituary.
I'm missing Naomi.
Yeah, you guys could have like a obituary 101. Here's the one thing, since we got on obituaries, that I will say bothers me. I think we need to go back to listing why people died in obituaries.
Oh,
you
okay.
read them and you're like, well, okay. And like you have to try to decipher. Like a lot of times, you know, are they giving money to the Cancer Society? Are they giving money to, you know, and you try and think, well, maybe. But especially for like the, you know, 37-year-old guy, you're like, well, what happened? You know?
Yeah.
I wish we'd go back to put a paragraph in there like, well, Johnny was, you know, I don't know, cleaning out his garage and got into a fight with a raccoon and the raccoon had rabies. I don't know. You'd never come up with that on your own. And if that's what happened, I'd want to know. So I wish as a culture we would go back to, you know, putting in obituaries what happened.
And some, I still see some... Like they have a little line after a long battle with cancer or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, it's like.
But a lot of them are just, like you said, sometimes they're like a paragraph long and it's like, well, Johnny died. Celebration of life will be at the Elks Lodge on Friday. And that's it. And you're like, well, why did he die?
Yeah.
It bothers me. It's that open-ended.
Well, it's also that the conversation hasn't happened.
Right.
And somebody's not comfortable with putting in there. What happened?
Yeah.
Which,
because they didn't talk to Johnny about what he wanted.
There you go.
Because why would you care? You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people would, but.
Yeah.
Just put it on there. I think we should talk about death all the time. It's way more interesting than life. Right?
But, you know, what it does is when you talk about it and you realize that, yes.
It's not that big of a deal.
My end will come.
Yeah.
So today. I get to have fun.
Yeah.
I get to eat cake.
Yes.
I get to come here and talk with you.
And it's like the one shared experience we're all going to have. Mm-hmm. The rest of our lives will all be different. We're all going to die.
Yep.
Might as well be ready for it. All right, so when's the Death Cafe again?
June 10th.
June 10th, 6:30 p.m.
6:30 at the Foundry Room.
Which is where?
It's 915 East Washington Street, which is where the Green Top Grocery is.
Yep.
And the Gingerbread House and the bike store.
The bike shop, yeah.
So right in between those two businesses.
And Coffee Hound. We won't forget about Coffee Hound's in there, too.
I don't drink coffee, so I forget. But yeah, it's right there, and you just go upstairs. There's a glass door, and it'll say, there'll be a sign on it that I hang up, and it says, "Welcome to Death Cafe. Please come upstairs and sign in."
And so the stairs keep people out that are too close to death.
No, there's a lift.
Oh, well, there you go. We'll get everybody up there.
That's right. That's right.
People don't necessarily need to RSVP, but there's a Facebook page so they can let you know they're coming. What's the Facebook page?
It's Death Cafe in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Not just the regular Death Cafe. There's a Death Cafe Facebook page that's run by the organizers.
Kind of the international. Mm-hmm.
But we have our own now that says Death Cafe in Bloomington Normal. So if you search that, it'll go right there.
Gotcha. And I think I had another question for you, but now I'm blanked out. I don't remember. If you're just tuned in, we've been talking to Tina Betcher, who is talking to us about the Death Cafe. There is an upcoming meeting of the Death Cafe on June 10th at 6:30 at the Foundry Room on the second floor. Do people need to bring anything? That's what I was going to ask. It's free, so they don't need to bring money.
We'll have cake. We'll have tea and water. If they want to drink coffee or something, then they bring their own.
And there's a Coffee Hound right there.
So. Yeah, and they can also pick up something if they want to at Green Top. They have prepared foods.
Okay.
They're welcome to bring that up because I know not everyone needs cake. Most people do, but then there's somebody that's diabetic that might not want it, so they might want to bring their own treats.
And
it's fine.
Start promptly at 6:30. So
yes.
Be 5 or 10 or 15 minutes early.
Yes. We're there right about 6, setting up. So between 6 and 6:30, you can get your food, come on upstairs, whatever you want to do. But we try to keep it exactly at 6:30, and we end at 8:30.
Okay.
Because people have to get babysitters.
They have lives. They're not dead yet. They don't have free time all over.
We're not just going to sit there for 5 hours every night. I'm not either.
And have you already scheduled the next one, or you said it'll be about 2 months?
It'll be about 2 months, okay. We have to look at our schedules. Naomi and I, we're, like right now, she's gone, and I was gone, and I just got back.
Gotcha.
So hopefully we'll...
So if they can't make this one, like the Facebook page, and then they'll get updates. If somebody wants to reach out to you or Naomi, is the Facebook page the best way to contact you?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
There's a message me that I just got set up so we can try it out.
Nice.
Somebody can do that. But we also put, when we advertise it, Naomi's phone number is on there. And when it was in the newspaper, my email is there too.
Okay. You want to give those out?
Sure. Her phone number
is 309-825-8818.
And my email is Tina, T-I-N-A, the number 4, the word peace, P-E-A-C-E, Tina for peace at AOL.com.
Hey, keeping that AOL going.
Yeah.
Good for you and my father-in-law.
Old person.
Yeah, you guys are hanging on.
Everybody has my email for so many years.
I know, you can't get rid of it. I know.
I have other emails, but this is the one that
I couldn't let it slide. I always, Kurt, my father-in-law, for those avid listeners of, what have we been on, 3 years now? Remember Kurt, and he has an AOL, and so I always have to give him a hard time, so couldn't let it slide. He would have, because he listens to all the podcasts, I'm sure he would have given me a hard time if I didn't say anything.
So. There you go.
So Tina4Peace at AOL.com.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, have everybody go check out the Facebook page, and if you can make it to the Death Cafe on June 10th at 6:30 in the evening in the Foundry Room on the second floor, which is next to Green Top, I will be there.
Great.
I can't wait.
Great.
It's going to be an awesome conversation about death.
We had Paul Zweig from the Pantograph last time, and he did a big article on it.
Yeah, I think that's where Ann had read about it, and she was like, oh, you need to talk to these Death Cafe people.
Great. Get the word out. More people will come.
That's right. We are Catholic Spirit Radio. This is Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. Thank you to Tina Betcher from the Death Cafe for being with us today. If you're just tuning in, go back and listen to our podcast on iTunes or on Podbean. We will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
The Pontiac Knights of Columbus Council 854 of St. Mary's Parish is involved with special masses, activities for youth and charities, Lenten fish fries, Special Olympics, and Tootsie Roll drives, and is a sponsor of Catholic Spirit Radio. As part of the largest Catholic fraternal service organization, the Knights make a positive difference in today's world. They meet every second and fourth Thursday and invite you to become a Brother Knight. Call 815-844-5820. That's 815-844-5820.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. Again, I want to thank our first guest of the hour, Tina Betcher from the Death Cafe. Thank you so much for being with us. If you want more information, you can look up their Facebook page. We also have another special guest with us. Jacinta Robin is with us from all the way from Jacksonville, Florida. She is part of the Students for Life at the University of North Florida. And Jacinta, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
There's a lot going on right now with the Right for Life campaigns here in the United States. Can you help us maybe understand some of the newest things that have happened?
Sure. So it seems like the different states across the country are pushing through some type of law that has to do with abortion. Either it's extremely pro-life or it's extremely pro-choice. And I had the grace of lobbying just last week in D.C. with Students for Life, and we were encouraging our Republican senators to jump on board with paid family leave. And it was a beautiful lobbying experience to be a part of. We were pushing for a bipartisan bill, a way for Republicans and Democrats to actually agree on something. And I recognize the fluidity of conversation and fair access to representation. So when the media updated all of us about the recent pro-abortion bill that was passed through the House in Illinois, I was a little bit concerned and a little bit disappointed at the process that was used. It was not at all a reflection of what I experienced in D.C. when a particular bill is being processed through the law in a fair and civil manner. But it seems to me that the Illinois people made it incredibly clear in March that they were not in favor of this bill. According to CNS News, thousands of Americans from Illinois showed up to shut down the HB 2467 and HB 2495. I don't know how much clearer the Illinois people can be in regards to how they feel about this particular bill passing in Illinois. And over the Memorial Weekend holiday, it was introduced and successfully passed through the House, conveniently without media coverage and any type of representation of the Illinois people, because they were at home with their family and doing their own thing. So I really, as appalling as the law is, I was also just incredibly frustrated at just how juvenile the process of pushing this law through was. I don't think it was an accurate reflection of how our country's political system works, and it was an absolute outrage for all of us to see, even down here in Florida.
Yeah, we run our politics a little differently here in Illinois. It should definitely be a reflection of the people, but unfortunately, a lot of times it is not, and we definitely have some politicians that have their own agendas, and they like to push those agendas. Can you tell us a little bit about what the House law that passed, or the proposal that passed the House, what exactly it says?
Yes, it seems as if it's more radical than the first bill. It's introducing the opportunity to perform partial birth abortions. It denounces the conscience clause, so physicians, nurses, PAs, CNAs that don't want to participate with abortions will be required to. It also ignores the parental consent laws. So teenagers, you know, will have access to abortions. They won't have to let their parents know. They weren't allowed to go see the movie Unplanned because it was rated R. You had to be 17 to watch it, but they can go and get an abortion without letting their parents know. And they're actually going to be accessed by individuals who are not physicians per se, because the bill allows practitioners to do abortions, which are basically blind surgeries, without having a physician's license. So, you know, it can be anyone from a midwife to a PA performing these abortions on these young girls.
Yeah,
it's just very unsafe.
It doesn't take a medical degree in order to commit murder.
Yeah, apparently, you know, but you have to have a lot of years of schooling just to pull a tooth. But you know, to surgically remove a human being from another human being, that doesn't require virtually any schooling at all. It's appalling.
Yeah, it definitely is. Can you shed a little bit of light on the you said there's a lot of states that are passing laws on both sides. I know Alabama recently passed a new legislation in regards
right.
to pro-life.
It's been pretty exciting, actually, for the pro-life side. We just got Louisiana to jump on board. Georgia recently passed a pro-life bill, which received a lot of attention from the actor who played Abby Johnson in the recent Unplanned movie, because she was from Georgia. The amount of states that have jumped on board to push pro-life laws have actually surpassed those that are pushing extreme pro-choice laws. Louisiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee have all proposed pro-life bills, and I believe Missouri as well. I want to say about 10 states have successfully introduced pro-life legislation, and you know it's intended to get the conversation stirred up about this particular issue. You know, New York, I guess, maybe was the precursor in all this, and the states are trying to keep from having any law like New York's extreme pro-abortion bill pass in their state, and so they're going off on the deep end on the other side and the pro-life scope. But yeah, definitely, it's a trend that's picked up. I want it to keep going. Hoping Florida can jump on board here pretty soon. Things are pretty mellow by choice here, but hopefully conversations like this will start to get people thinking and working on the side of life to get really strong pro-life bills passed in Florida as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if you look back historically, obviously we fought an entire civil war over the issue of slavery and states' rights,
right.
and whether or not the defense of the unborn might be that same states' rights issue that leads states to, you know, think about seceding from the union.
It's very eerie, just in the fact that, you know, the extremity that's required in order to show a stance regarding abortion is required. And that's kind of where we're at now. You know, you have New York and Colorado, which are incredibly pro-choice and allowing virtually any kind of abortions. And then you have states like Alabama and Kentucky, where there's virtually only one abortion clinic in Kentucky. They're incredibly pro-life. I used to live up there. And it's like you're like in two different worlds. It's really interesting. I think the real reason why, you know, the upheaval isn't just bizarre and frightening for most people is the conversations are still being permitted. We're still allowed to talk about this. We can bring our concerns to our legislators, and they do really offer listening ear, apart from what most people probably believe. Legislators are there for you. It's unfortunate that they get a rep that they're not. But the ones who do fight for good causes, they do want to offer valid representation. We need to take advantage of them and help them know how strong we feel about embracing life throughout the country. I speak on behalf of millennials. As you know, I'm with Students for Life. And our research shows that poll after poll, millennials are incredibly pro-life. For the few that are in favor of abortion, they do not line up with the extreme views of the Democratic left. Only 7% are up to par with the extreme precepts that the Democratic Party is proposing. And even though we are about to replace the baby boomer population in the United States as the largest generation population in this country, our views and our values are not being reflected in the legislation that's being passed by the Democratic Party. I don't know why they're promoting a stance of being pro-young and pro-progression when they're not reflecting the values of the most of the generation with the most momentum in this country right now. I mean, we are in our 20s and our 30s. We represent the largest population in the working force. We are the ones who are going to the ballots and making changes. I don't see why our views are not being reflected in the legislature regarding pro-life issues when it's our generation that's getting most of the abortions. And we are the ones that are saying this is not what's helping our generation anymore, where the birth rate is at a extraneous decline. We are not replacing ourselves in this country. We are the reproductive population, and our values are not being heard or embraced at all. So yeah. I'm really scared.
Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely very sad. It's obviously it's a complete abomination on our values as Catholics towards life.
Absolutely. The Christian population, poor thing, you know, and the United States is incredibly Christian. And again, only 7% of millennials are on board with this. Most of them are Christian. It's appalling. I don't know what the information they're using to get, you know, the details on what we believe, but it's certainly not from us, because these polls are showing something completely different.
Well, I think it's probably large lobbying dollars from Planned Parenthood. And
right.
You know, one of the somewhat frustrating things, and I'm drawing a blank on the name, but I think that I read some quotes from one of the archbishops in the South, whether it was Alabama or Georgia, who said that,
right.
You know, he had kind of come out and said that he felt like the pro-life bill actually went too far. And as a Catholic bishop, I felt like that was, you know, very disheartening to hear.
Yes. I you know, respect the fact that our bishops, unfortunately, do have to show a political presence, because these laws do have a huge impact on the Christian and the Catholic population, of course, you know, with the health law that was enforcing employers to offer abortions and contraceptions, you know, Catholic institutions are heavily impacted by that. I respect their responsibility to be a presence politically, but that's the role that they have to play in progressing our values in the country, which ought to be respected, and they have to speak Catholic truth. That's just a requirement. And the Catholic view is that all abortion is bad, no matter the situation that is inclining a person to want an abortion, the termination of a new human being, no matter the size of that human being, a fully developing human being is wrong. So they have to remember that we really do want our Catholic values represented in the law. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and that to me is what's kept it afloat all this time. As those values are degraded, our freedom of speech is being compromised, our children are being killed in the womb, we can't show any partiality when it comes to these things, and we really need our bishops to step up and really reflect the church that they represent.
Yeah, I agree with you. Unfortunately, at this point in time, it seems like we have a lot of differing opinions on what Catholic truth is when it comes to some of the hierarchy in our.
But the funny thing about the faith is that our belief is not an opinion. If you truly believe what the faith is teaching, you accept it as just that, as truth. So we don't have the option of having an opinion on what we believe as Catholics. And even for them to portray it as an opinion is not validly, accurately representing the Catholic faith.
Absolutely. I think you should get a job as a professor at a seminary. You might be able to enact some good,
Well, we just need a lot of prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we so appreciate all the hard work that you're doing, and we appreciate you updating us. We'd love to have you back on in the future to update us as this unfortunate thing continues to progress forward. We send out our prayers for all the Students for Life and for
the
legislators in those states who are taking a strong stand on pro-life causes. We know that it's difficult for them you know, at sometimes to do that.
Yes, it is. But it keeps us, it's job security, right? It keeps us very busy, unfortunately. And I want to say thank you to you, Jason, for having me. This was a wonderful opportunity, and I'm really grateful. People like you being open to hearing our side of things is invaluable. So
well,
thank you.
You definitely are filled with passion for the cause. So I will rest a little easier knowing that there's students out there that are fighting the good fight. So keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Will do.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being with us. This is Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Catholic Spirit Radio is here for you 24 hours a day. And just by tuning in, we help you learn about the beauty of the Catholic faith. If you're listening today and liking what you hear about the truths and traditions of the Catholic faith, maybe this is a time that you take a bold step. Whether you desire to become a Catholic, wish to return to the Catholic faith, or simply want to know more about the faith, find out how to take the first step by inquiring at any of the local Catholic churches, asking a Catholic friend, or contacting Catholic Spirit Radio. God's welcoming and loving arms found in the Catholic faith are waiting for you.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. I want to thank our guests again that we had today. Some fantastic information from both of them, so I really appreciate them coming on. We're going to wrap up this hour with the gospel for this weekend. This weekend comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 53. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage, and then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel according to Luke. I think this Gospel gives us a really good picture of Jesus's ever presence with us as we walk through our day-to-day lives. I think it reminds us of the Holy Spirit that descends upon each of us through baptism and confirmation. I think that it helps us as we find our struggles in life and as we find our triumphs to remember where those struggles and triumphs come from, where the gifts of the Holy Spirit come down upon us so that we may humble ourselves during our triumphs and recognize that all great things come from God, but then also give us the strength and the wisdom and the graces that we need to overcome our struggles. I think it's important for us to keep in mind every day that we are called to be saints, that we're called to walk in the footsteps of Christ, but that we're not called to do that alone. We have the saints, we have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father fighting for us every day, sending us the grace that we need and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I hope that you have a very blessed weekend. I hope that you have a continued blessed summer, that you remember that the Holy Spirit is with you, that he's walking alongside of you, and that he will provide the graces and the gifts that you need in your times of struggle and your times of triumph, and over to keep your eyes focused on God and to remain like the apostles, constantly praising God in his temple. Have a blessed week. This is Jason Bramley with Catholic Conversations on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
Can I ask you a question? Are you encountering adversity in your life? Are you carrying a heavy cross? Is your cross a serious illness? A broken relationship? The loss of a loved one? Financial, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual? Yes, crosses come in many forms, and crosses are difficult. They can be very heavy. They can be overwhelming. Is your cross crushing you? Do you feel at times like you cannot even breathe? Well, I know a little bit about the cross, and I want to assure you that our Lord Jesus is with you, and he knows everything about your cross. As a matter of fact, he went before you when he hung and bled and died on the cross for you. Well, the world is being redeemed through the cross. As difficult and painful as our crosses may be, it is a great privilege to be given the gift of the cross in our lives. Listen, there is one thing we will not have in heaven, and that if it's possible to have nostalgia in heaven, we will have nostalgia for this, and that is the redemptive and purifying crosses we were blessed with during our lives. Yes, the cross is literally joined to God. Jesus, God and man, allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. And if we want to be one with Jesus here on earth, we need to allow him to pull us up on the cross with him. Because in a real sense, that is where he is at, and that is where we will find him. We can only really see the world for what it is through the view from up on the cross. It is there that we learn to love everything and everyone from the cross, because God is love and he is one with the cross. Yes, Jesus died once, rose, and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, but he is mystically still on the cross, redeeming the world through his mystical body, the church, and that is you, and that is me. And don't forget that the cross leads to the resurrection. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from the automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.